You have your Bibles this evening. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6. We'll begin in chapter 6, and then we'll go into chapter 7. But I want to talk to you tonight about one of the heroes of the New Testament, a fellow by the name of Stephen. And in the very early days of church history, as you read through the book of Acts, you find that the church began to face a time when dissension began to rise in the ranks. In other words, there were divisions that came into the church. And you had one group of people standing against another group of people. And of course, the cause of these divisions is described for us in very clear terms, and it's seen when we notice two things. First of all, number one, there is the plan. The plan. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. In other words, there is unity in the ranks. There's unity in the church. One heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. In other words, the decision of the church was that it's not going to be what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. Did you get that? Okay. It wasn't what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. And no. It was, we're all going to have everything together. But we're going to have all things in common. In other words, we're going to put all of our money into a kitty, and all the members of the church then will be supported from that, and that way we'll have our every need provided for. Now, please understand, that was a decision they made without a command from God. God never commanded them to do that. You can't find anywhere in Scripture where the Lord commanded them to do that. Can't find anywhere in Scripture where the Lord did that. But as time went past, what happened was everything was fine in the beginning, but as time went by, the congregation began to grow. And as the congregation began to grow, you began to have a more diverse membership. And so then you see the problem, number two. You see the problem. And it's found here in verse number 1 of our text, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says that in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, in other words, instead of 120 members, like we find back in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, now there are thousands. There are thousands of members. Thousands of members now. And so the Bible says that when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. That murmuring, you know what that is, right? I said, it goes on in the background. Okay? Of course, nobody ever does that in our church, I know. Yeah, right. Right? And so there was a murmuring that arose among the Grecians. Now, the Grecians, you need to understand, these Grecians were foreign-born Jews. They're Jews, but they were born outside of the land of Israel. And therefore, they spoke Greek. They didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke Greek. They're called Grecians. Called Grecians. So these are foreign-born Jews who speak Greek. And there began to arise a murmuring among them because the Hebrews were not doing right. You see, the Hebrews were Jews who had been born in the land, and they spoke Hebrew. And so these Hebrews looked at the Grecians like, they're second-class Jews. We are the first class Jews, you see. It's kind of the look you get when you get on an airplane, you know, and you have to walk through first class to get to economy. And all them people are looking at you like, oh, you poor scum, you know. And but anyway, that's kind of how they did. But this was in church now. This is in church. And these Grecians began to murmur because of the fact that the Hebrews are getting preferential treatment. Now notice what it says. They began to murmur against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. Now the Hebrew, the Greek word translated neglected there, it literally means they were habitually overlooked. They are habitually overlooked. They were neglected in the daily ministration. In other words, when it came to passing out the needs of that day from the kitty of the church, okay, the Hebrews were perceived as getting a preferential treatment, and they were getting better treated and more than the Hebrews or the Grecians were. Now whether this neglect was planned or accidental, or whether this neglect was real or imaginary. You know, both of those things come in sometimes, right? Sometimes people get all upset about something, and then when you get to digging into it, you find out what they got upset about was really, that didn't happen at all. It was just their imagination. But whether it was real or imaginary, whether it was planned or accidental, at any rate, they're upset. They're upset. And it caused a division. It caused the rising up of various factions within the church. Now let me remind you of what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes 1:9. He said, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be." Okay? What you have seen in the past, that's what you're going to see now. That's what you're going to see now. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and here's the reason why. There is no new thing under the sun. Human nature, it's still human nature, isn't it? Still human nature. And so what we see going on back then still goes on today. Still goes on today. So we should not be surprised. You get more than 10 people in a group, and you're going to have a faction. You're going to see divisions. There's going to be differences of opinion about how things ought to be done, how things ought to be carried out, and there's going to be divisions. And that's how it was back then. As a result of this problem, verse 2 and following, the Bible says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report." Now notice, the apostles did not choose these men. These men were chosen by the members of the church, not by the apostles. They're men who are selected by the membership of the church from among themselves. But there was a criteria, there was a standard that was stressed. And these men were to be men of honest report. Notice what it says. They were to look for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, as you know, these 7 men that were chosen would become the first deacons of the early church. And it's in that context that we meet our next New Testament soul winner that we want to talk about. Our next New Testament witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost." They chose Stephen. Now, a couple of things we want to mention here. First of all, his background. His background. By his name, we know that Stephen was a Grecian. He was a foreign-born Jew who spoke Greek. You can tell that by the name that he had. It was a Grecian name. And so we know that he was a Grecian. In other words, he was actually he was what some would call a second-class Jew in the church. He was a second-class Jew that we talked about a minute ago. But even though he may have been a second-class Jew, he was a first-class Christian. First-class Christian. And so therefore, notice his description, number 2. His description. He's described in 2 ways. First of all, in verse 8, we're told that he had spiritual power. He had spiritual power. And in verse 10, we're told that he had spiritual wisdom. He had spiritual power, he had spiritual wisdom. And both of those things were true because of the fact that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. That's why it was true. That's why it was true. By the way, that's exactly what God desires for each one of our lives here tonight. Did you know that? That's exactly what God desires for each one of us. Remember the command, Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." In other words, don't be under the influence of alcohol. Rather, be filled with or be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. As we consider this man Stephen, we're going to see what a man or a woman is like when they are witnessing for the Savior in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see what a man or a woman is going to be like when they are telling others about Jesus Christ, not in their own strength, not in their own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's notice a couple of things here about Stephen that we can learn. First of all, we find that when a man is full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, number 1, he is always available. He's always available. Now, we're not told anything about Stephen's family. That's not mentioned. We're not told anything in the text about Stephen's occupation. That's not mentioned either. We're not told anything in our text about Stephen's responsibilities, what was expected of him. That's not mentioned either. But the bottom line is that none of those things really mattered. None of those things really mattered. You see, because Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, he was confident that God would provide and that God would take care of all of his needs. I remember many times hearing my dad make a statement, and it's a very true statement. He said, "God's calling will always guarantee God's providing." In other words, God will never call you to do something. He'll never give you an opportunity to serve without giving you the ability to do what He wants you to do. And so Stephen understood. He was confident. He was confident God would provide and take care of his needs. And therefore, number 2, he was willing. He was willing, without any conditions, without any reservations, to step into any place of service that God opened for him. In other words, Stephen was just like those servants of King David. Remember the servants of King David back in 2 Samuel 15 and verse number 15? Here's what David's servants said. They said, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." In other words, king, we're your servants, and whatever you appoint, whatever you command, we are ready. We'll do that. We're ready to step in. You just point the place, and we're there. We're there. Well, that's the attitude we all ought to have. By the way, that's the attitude people that are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost are going to have. They are always available. So it's not surprising then that when we consider this man Stephen, remember they chose seven, right? Stephen is the first one mentioned. Now, personally, I believe that order is very important in the Bible. And I believe the reason why he's the first one mentioned is because he's the first one chosen. When they said we need seven men, everybody immediately said, yep, Stephen's the man. Stephen is the man. Now, many times we try to avoid the Lord by saying that we're not able, but someone as well said this. They said the greatest ability is availability. That's the greatest ability. And there was a need in the church, and Stephen willingly made himself available to meet the need. Willingly made himself available to fill the need. And by the way, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was advocating in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think about this. Think about this. No matter how much the Lord may ask us to do for Him, no matter what door of opportunity the Lord may open for us to serve Him, it's never unreasonable. It's never unreasonable when we consider how much He's done for us. Right? It's never an unreasonable thing when we consider how much our Savior has done for us. And so because of His availability to serve His Savior in any way that might be needed, we also find that Stephen, not only was he always available, but number two, he was always witnessing. He was always witnessing. The Bible says that when Stephen and those who were appointed to serve as deacons in that early church, the Bible says that they were faithfully going about and telling others about the Lord Jesus. And that's why we find that two things happened. First of all, letter A, there was an increase. There was an increase. And this increase is seen in two ways. First of all, God's Word spread. God's Word spread. Look at it in verse number 7. It says, the Word of God increased. In other words, basically what that means is it is spreading everywhere. It is going everywhere people go. They're telling the good news. They're spreading the word. They get in a taxi and somebody tells them about the Lord, or they're in the market and somebody gives them a tract and tells them about the Lord, or in the classroom or in the workplace or wherever it is. The Word of God is just spreading. Just spreading. But not only was there an increase because God's Word spread, there was also an increase because God's church grew. God's church grew. Verse number 7. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem just a little bit. Is that what it says? No, it multiplied greatly. Multiplied greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so not only is the Word of God spreading, the church is growing. People are being added in. New folks are coming in and joining in because they've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now I need to make a note right here, and that is simply this. Anytime something great is being done for God, you can mark it down. Satan is going to do everything he can to disrupt it. Anytime something great is being done for God, Satan is not going to sit idly by and just allow it to happen. He's going to do whatever he can to try to disrupt it. And so therefore we find letter B. Not only was there an increase, but there was a persecution. There was a persecution. Now even though there were seven men chosen to be deacons in the church, of those seven, it seems that Stephen was what we would call here in our context, he was the chairman, Brother David. He was the church chairman. He was the leader of the seven. He was the leader of the seven. And so the Bible says in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. In other words, it was because of God's power in his life that Stephen was able to influence others, even those who were priests in the Jewish religion. He was able to influence them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And so as a result of that influence, Stephen became a special target. Became a special target. Now Satan is after him. By the way, let me tell you something. As long as you're not doing anything for God, Satan's really not going to bother you. So if Satan's not a problem in your life, well, you know what that means, right? That means you're really not doing anything for God. Why should he bother you? You're not his problem. You're not causing him any difficulty. But as soon as you determine you're going to start living for God and you're going to be what God wants you to be as a child of God, mark it down. You're going to have a target painted on your back. And he's going to come after you. He's going to come after you. And so Stephen became a target. And the Bible says in verse 9 that then there arose. When? When? After the word of God is spreading, after the church is growing, Stephen is giving leadership, and souls are being saved. And as a result of that, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. However, because Stephen was full of faith, and because Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Couldn't resist it. In other words, when they tried to debate with him, he basically silenced them. Because he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God empowered him to speak in a way that his enemies could not answer. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you know, I would witness, but I'm just afraid. I don't know what to say. Try this. Don't worry about what to say. Worry about giving yourself completely to the Holy Spirit of God and allowing Him to fill you and to control you. And you know what will happen? He'll give you the words to say. And when He gives you the words to say, they won't be able to answer. That's what happened here. They could not resist the wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. And so therefore, those religious men, verse 11, they induced others to lie about him. They induced others to lie about Stephen. And in verse number 12, they begin trying to stir up the people against him. And when those things did not have the desired effect, then they brought him, verse number 12, they brought him before their council. And in verse 13 and verse 14, they even went so far as to find false witnesses to come against him. And in chapter 7 and verse 1, after the false witnesses have given their false testimony, the Bible says, then said the high priest, are these things so? Are these things so? Boy, what a rank hypocrite. He knows good and well they're not so, because he's the one who hired the false witnesses to bring the accusation. But in his piety, wrapping his robes of self-righteousness around himself, he said, "Now tell us, Mr. Stephen," this is in the Crocker version, "tell us, Mr., are these things really true that we have heard about you? Are they really true?" And it's here that we find the next characteristic of a person who is full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Here it is, number three. Always bold. Always bold. Now you remember Peter and John had been arrested at the temple and commanded that, Acts 4:18, they were commanded that they should not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Remember that? And then after being threatened in Acts chapter 4, verse 21, Peter and John were set free, and immediately they went to the church with their report, told them what all had happened, and you remember the church then began to pray. Church began to pray. And the Bible says that after they prayed, Acts 4:31, that the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice the result. They're filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with boldness. They spake the Word of God with boldness. That's the same thing we find in our text. Same thing we find in our text. Stephen was in a dangerous place, and yet, because he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, there was a holy boldness in him that allowed him to speak several ways. Let me mention them just very quickly. Number one, he was able to speak respectfully. Nowhere in Scripture are the witnesses of Jesus Christ ever commanded to be rude. Nowhere. Stephen spoke respectfully. These men were out to get him. They're bringing in lying witnesses, false witnesses. And yet he showed to those men proper respect. Notice it in verse 2. He said, "Men, brethren," in other words, you are fellow Jews, "men, brethren, and fathers." Not only are you fellow Jews, you are leaders in the Jewish religion. He showed them respect. He spoke respectfully to them. Not only did he speak respectfully, he spoke, number two, letter B. He began to speak biblically. He began to speak biblically. As Stephen gave his defense for his faith in the Lord Jesus, and we won't take time to look at it now. You can read it on your own. Verse 2 all the way down to verse 53. You'll find that Stephen not once gave his opinion. He did not give his opinion. From time to time, people will ask me what my opinion is about certain things, and I always try to tell them that my opinion is no better than their opinion. Because opinions are kind of like noses. Everybody has one, and they all smell. All right? That's the way opinions are. My opinion's not important. The important thing is, what does the Word of God say? And so Stephen, as he begins to speak to these men, does not give them his opinion. Rather, he faithfully opened the Scriptures, reminding those men of their Jewish history, reminding them of their sin, reminding them of their rebellion. And as a result of the fact that he spoke biblically, he was also, letter C, he was able to speak convincingly. Convincingly. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. That's what happened, remember, on the day of Pentecost? Peter preached. The Bible says in Acts 2:37 that when the people heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted. They were convinced. Instead of responding, however, in faith, like those men did on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says in verse 54 that these men gnashed on Him with their teeth. In other words, they just sort of lose it. They lose it. And they began to gnash on Him with their teeth. And yet even then, letter D, because He was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, He was able to speak confidently. In fact, notice what it says, verse 55 and verse 56, "But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." While his faith brought confidence for himself, his confidence filled the hearts of his enemies with an even greater madness. And so the Bible says in verse 57 and verse 58, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, they stopped up their ears, they ran upon him with one accord, they cast him out of the city, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." But then we find one other thing. Because he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, he was able, letter E, to speak graciously. I don't know about you, but I can pretty well imagine what I would say if somebody was stoning me. And I don't think it would be printed in the Bible. Just to be real honest with you. I mean, you know, I'd just tell it like it is, right? But when a man is full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, even during times of the greatest, most painful persecution you can imagine. I mean, can you imagine being stoned? To be able to say what Stephen said. Listen to the gracious words. Verse number 60. "And he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Now, I don't know about you, I'd be saying, "Lord, kill these buzzards." I want vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith Ray. No. "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Gracious words. In fact, doesn't it almost sound like the words of the Lord Himself on the cross of Calvary? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Gracious words. Gracious words. As I bring this to a close, let me mention one other thing that will always be true of a Spirit-filled witness for Jesus Christ, and that is this. They will be lamented when they're gone. They'll be lamented when they're gone. You know, some people depart and the church breathes a sigh of relief. Boy, thought they'd never go. All right? Some people depart and the church sorrows. They lament. Notice what it says in chapter 8, verse 2. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial." After he's been stoned outside the gates of the city, they carried Stephen to his burial and made, notice it, they made great lamentation for him. The church had lost a great deacon. The church had lost a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man or the woman who is truly Spirit-filled will always be greatly missed when God moves them either to a new place of ministry or when God calls them home they're going to be missed. And may God help each one of us to be so emptied of sin and to be so emptied of ourselves that the Holy Spirit might be able to fill us completely and use us that we might boldly and that we might faithfully proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person that we meet, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the dangers. May God help us to be faithful because we're full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father,